Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, a High School National Championship, the College National Championship, and the College Bracket, leading to the Bassmaster Classic. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are, and for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. The best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the watch button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Well, here we go again. A major slugfest is underway at Lake Champlain coming off that incredible tournament last week at the St. Lawrence River and Lake Ontario. Now, the favorite, Chris Johnston, got it done tracking down red-hot Paul Mueller for his first win on the Elite Series and the first ever win for a Canadian. Now, we caught up with Chris after the angler meeting on Wednesday night, and we have that coming up for you in our Winner Circle segment. Of course, next week, we will have the winner of the Champlain event as well. Now, at the St. Lawrence, one guy made a massive run, at least 80 miles one way, to Oswego, New York, and he cashed that in for a top 10 finish. Texan Brad Watley. Watley made a business decision to stay on the river on Championship Sunday, and it worked out as well. Now, he's coming up in the leadoff role. And then in the cleanup role today is Dave Mercer on what it means for Canada to get a blue trophy and how weird is it to be conducting weigh-ins in front of just a few folks as the massive crowds that always turn out in New York are restricted from being at the event this year. So grab a cup of coffee and jump on board as we pull this show away from the dock. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Show your passion for the sport of bass fishing by becoming a BASS member today. Tom Abraham here, and one of the best moves I ever made was becoming a BASS lifetime member in 1981. Knowing that I'm a member of bass fishing's largest, most influential community is not only rewarding, but important to the future of our sport. Of course, the magazine is great, as are all the benefits. Join or renew your membership and receive a free gift pack for 1 year, 5 year, and lifetime memberships. Visit Bassmaster.com and click on Join for details.
At Phoenix Boats, everyone has a passion for bass fishing. From the founder and Elite Series pro Gary Klaus, down to the guy who affixes the final decal. Gary says, this passion has shaped our lives and it has brought about many of the fishing features that you see on the Phoenix today. Our goal is to make every boat that goes out the door the best fishing platform it can be in both design and construction for our customers. When I toured the plant, it was clear that Phoenix uses only the highest quality materials and that the craftsmanship was second to none. I'm Tom Abraham. And I too run a Phoenix boat and am extremely proud to carry the Phoenix logo on my gear. I've known Gary Klaus since he started the company, and what he, Teresa Johnson, and the rest of the team at Phoenix Boats have created is truly remarkable. The highest quality boats built by anglers for anglers. This isn't just a saying, it's a passion at Phoenix. View the entire lineup at phoenixboats.com and get started on yours today. Take it from me, it's time to experience the Phoenix difference. If you haven't visited EnigmaFishing.com lately, you are missing out on some of the greatest deals in the industry. Tour-level rods and reels at everyday fisherman prices. How? Well, they eliminate the middleman and sell directly to you. And now, in addition to tremendous rods and reels, Enigma has a full line of sunglasses and accessories and some of the coolest clothes around. Check out the new Torch bait casting reel as well. Lightning fast with an 8.1:1 gear ratio and pretty cool looking as well. At a price too good to believe. Visit EnigmaFishing.com today.
This is Bassmaster Radio. For tournament results, how-to articles and videos, or to become a member, visit Bassmaster.com. Now back to Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And now, you know, I wanted to talk to this guy coming out of the St. Lawrence because he did something that was pretty brave, to be quite honest with you, or maybe stupid. I'm not sure 100%, but as I've told you guys before, I grew up on Lake Ontario, so I know how rough Lake Ontario can be and how bad Lake Ontario can be. But Phoenix Pro Brad Wiley, he ran to Oswego. And for folks that don't know, Oswego from Clayton, I mean, the next is like Syracuse and then Rochester and then Buffalo. I mean, it's like run. That's a long way to go on Lake Ontario. But he made it work. He made it to the final day and had an excellent finish and has set himself up pretty good here in the AOI point standings going into Champlain. Obviously, he's fishing Champlain this week, but we caught up with him beforehand, and he joins us now. Brad, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Glad to be here.
I'm sure you are after running the lake. Was there any time in the 3 days that you ran to Oswego, you decided to stay in the river on Championship Sunday, but was there any time that you thought, you know, maybe this wasn't a great idea to head that way?
That third day when I was coming back, I kind of started second-guessing myself. I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. So, yeah, it was definitely a run. You know, that's quite a ways to try to push your equipment.
Yeah. We were talking before the interview that, you know, they said 70 miles in the story, but I'm thinking that that's more the way the crow flies. And you probably ran closer to 80 miles, maybe a little more than 80 miles, you know, to get, depending on how, you know, much you try to hug the coast going down there. But it was probably more like 80 miles, wasn't it, one way?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, I mean, I was only fishing a couple of hours a day. Mm-hmm. And I would say it was somewhere, I was probably doing around 160 miles, you know, one way. And you just, it kind of varied maybe a mile or two every day just because you got to play the wind. So,
right.
You know, if it allowed me to cut across the lake a little bit, I would. And if not, I'd have to hug a little closer to shore.
Was there anybody that made that run anywhere near you? Because, again, when they said that, you know, there was nobody within 10 miles of you, I would think there was nobody within 50 miles of you. But did anybody run nearly that far?
You know, honestly, I don't think there was anybody within 40 miles of me, at least 40 or 50 miles. I'd say 40 miles anyway. No, there was absolutely nobody down there with me. I was other than a bunch of I don't know what they were, big yachts down there. That was it. No other bass fishermen.
Yeah, I'm sure there weren't. All right, let's talk about it a little bit, though, because obviously you had found something, and you found it, I would assume, in practice. But did you make the run during practice or you know, maybe just once to kind of know what you were up against? Or did you trailer down there and fish that area?
No, I trailered. I went down there, trailered down there and fished, and then just kind of paced myself that first day to see if I could make it, you know, on a tank of gas or not, and took my time. And but no, I did not run it before the event. I just I trusted my hummingbirds and my lake master, and that's what got me. You know, helped give me, he'll show me the route.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. You also trust that beautiful Phoenix that you're running as well to, you know, if you're going to take on some heavy water and some heavy waves, you know, you might as well do it in a Phoenix, right? I would imagine the boat held up and performed expertly for you, even though you did have some problems. It was trolling motor trouble on Sunday, but no boat trouble, no motor trouble.
Oh, absolutely not. That my Mercury Phoenix performed flawlessly. You know, I mean, and we test that equipment. That, you know, when we get out in that big water like that, you're testing it big time and putting it through the ringer. And I didn't have, you know, a single problem. Absolutely no motor problems and no boat problems. It was, you know, it makes me feel good to know I can run a piece of equipment like that, you know, in water like that and be safe and make it back.
Did you tell your marshal, don't worry, it'll be okay, we're in a Phoenix, we'll be fine?
well, you know, we didn't have marshals this week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, due to the corona, so
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's good or bad. It would almost be nice to comforting to have somebody with you just in case something went wrong. But yeah, so that made it a little bit of a different deal fishing without a marshal. Brad Watley with us talking about his tournament at the St. Lawrence River, which was not really the St. Lawrence River for him, at least until the final day. Now you end up finishing in ninth place, but whether you finish ninth place or fourth place, the money is the same. The points obviously are very important for AOI, but I would imagine that that's a lot of it. You ended up 22, 23 pounds behind Chris Johnson. I would imagine in a lot of cases, it's kind of a business decision that you make on that final day that, in that weather, there's no way I'm going to even attempt to do that just to pick up a couple of more points possibly.
Yeah, absolutely not. The pay's the same. I might gain a point or two, but legitimately, if those guys caught them like they had been catching them, I was just too far back. I would have needed 30-something pounds, and I couldn't catch 30-something pounds down there. I believe I could catch 24, 25, but there's no way I can catch 30. So, like you said, it's a business decision. I have to fish Champlain this week. I don't want to put any more stress on my equipment than I have to, because, that was big water, and so I did it for 3 days. It worked for 3 days. I think I pushed my limit on that. So,
yeah,
we just decided to stay in the river that fourth day.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And, last year it was when you went up north that it kind of you spun out going up there. It was a different scenario. You're a Texas guy. You get up there. Certainly they got big water in Texas, but they don't have big smallmouth water in Texas. And so that, made it a difficult thing for you. But this year, kind of the opposite. You start out, you've been steady, but steadily improving. And then with this ninth place finish, this pushed you up into 11th in the Angler of the Year points. And you got to feel pretty comfortable about that and kind of flipping the script from last year.
Well, we're still early on. I'm fishing well right now, and that's really the only thing that I'm worried about and the only thing that matters. As long as I keep fishing well, the rest of it will take care of itself. But I don't even look at AOI this early in the year. We've got six events left, and so, a lot can happen. But as long as I'm fishing well, my mind's right. I did learn a little bit last year because I did take a butt whooping up there last year, and I didn't want another one. So
yeah.
hopefully I've, righted that ship a little.
Yeah. What was your deal on Sunday? Because you were slowly building a limit. I think your first five were about 7 or 8 pounds. And then ultimately you got it to 14 pounds, which, helped you at least lock into that nine hole.
I just had some unfortunate luck, on Sunday. I could have had 20 pounds Sunday. I just one of those days, it was one of those days where, you ever had one of those days where you probably just should have stayed in bed? and that was really kind of what that day boiled down to. I had everything happen, from hooks breaking to braid breaking. I lost a 4-something pound largemouth on a frog with braid. Well, that never happens. That's unheard of. I lost a 4-pounder. I fought it for several minutes and the hook breaks. So it just wasn't my day. And at the end of the day, I wound up getting a 3.5 and a 4-pound smallmouth just in the last few minutes. But, it wasn't meant to be for me to catch them that day.
I know you're focused on Champlain. You got to be focused on the rest of the season. But for only the third time ever, the Classic will be in the state of Texas. That's got to be something that's floating around in the back of your mind, how important it would be for you to make that Classic and fish in your home state.
Oh, absolutely. I've actually never fished that lake, but that's neither here nor there. The lake's not far from my house, maybe 2.5-3 hours from my house. The deal is I want to make it because all my family can be there and all my friends, and they don't have to drive that far. So, being able to fish in your home state, that's always an advantage. So, absolutely. I'm shooting for it. We do every year, but this one would be special to make, no doubt.
Brad Watley has been our guest. Brad, I appreciate you. I appreciate the effort that you made at the St. Lawrence. I wish you the best of luck at Champlain and going forward this season. And remember, winners come on, man. Winner circle segment, we always do it. So, hopefully we'll be talking to you again later on this year.
Absolutely. I hope that happens for sure.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Brad Watley, and I can't even imagine going to Oswego from Clayton, New York. What a run he was making there. All right, we'll come back one more right after this. You're listening to Phoenix Boats, Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Bassmaster Sweepstakes prizes are crazy good, and you'd be crazy not to enter.
Yeah, baby!
Enter now to win a fishing trip with 50 at Bassmaster Classic Champion Hank Cherry. Trip includes airfare, rental car, hotel, and $500 cash, plus a Basscat Saber FTD with Mercury 150 Pro XS Garmin Electronics and an amazing prize pack. Total value more than $50,000. There's a 100% chance you won't win if you don't enter. Go to Bassmaster.com and up the odds in your favor. It's fast and easy, and who knows? You could win.
From dawn to midday to dusk, the sun's rays dance across the water and the sparkling light beckons. The abundant shorelines invite you to play or sail or simply behold. This is where champions fish and families gather to unwind. It's Lake Hartwell, and Anderson is the gateway to its wonders. Walk on a pier, float all day, and restore your soul in this beautiful oasis. Visit Anderson, South Carolina's bright spot. Discover more at visitanderson.com and visitlakehartwell.com.
Show your passion for the sport of bass fishing by becoming a BASS member today. Tom Abraham here, and one of the best moves I ever made was becoming a BASS Lifetime member in 1981. Knowing that I'm a member of bass fishing's largest, most influential community is not only rewarding, but important to the future of our sport. Of course, the magazine is great, as are all the benefits. Join or renew your membership and receive a free gift pack for 1 year, 5 year, and lifetime memberships. Visit Bassmaster.com and click on Join for details.
This is Bassmaster Radio. Watch Bassmaster live at Bassmaster.com and on ESPN3 during every Elite Series event. Now back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats, Bassmaster Radio. And now winner circle time. And look, we just talked to this guy a few weeks ago because we wanted to talk to him about the St. Lawrence. Then he goes and wins the tournament, so he has to come back on for the winner circle segment. Of course, it is Chris Johnston. And Chris, welcome to the winner circle, my friend.
I'm glad to be here. Appreciate you having me, buddy.
Well, I tell you what, it is good to talk to you. You've been sniffing around this thing, 18th tournament with Bass, and you've been all over the top 10, top 5. You were second there last year, and now you get the win. And, man, it was just one big one after another. Just talk a little bit about the way the week went for you and how you were able to kind of manage your fish throughout the week.
Well, that was kind of the thing. I've been burned before on the third day, just kind of running out of fish, not necessarily running in the St. Lawrence, but the fish get educated, I find, so I was really trying to save spots for those third and fourth days, and I found a couple good spots in the river, and I knew one of them was going to be crowded, so I decided I'm going to start there. There's some big fish there, and get what I can with the other boats, and then kind of just go out in the lake and fill what I needed, and that worked really well for the first day. Caught a couple big ones the second day, I got two good ones, and then it fizzled out. Now, and just each day I went out in the lake and got what I needed, and then I kind of practiced it there and hit some secondary stuff, still trying to upgrade, but I didn't really lean on any of my good stuff. And so that was it. I was still in second. I was in second each day after Mueller. And to be honest, I thought he'd fall off a bit, maybe on the second or third day for sure. And I thought maybe he got a little lucky the first day, got an 8-pounder and weighed 27, but turns out he was on a really sweet spot. So He was on him good and had me a little worried going into day three, so I tried to catch as much as I could, and he still ended up catching another 25, and I was down 2 pounds going in the final day, and the weather forecast was going to change though, and as much as it is a pain going out to fish in big water, kind of thinking before we went out, I'm thinking my best chance to probably beat him is if it blows, because it'll change his conditions, and if it was calm, he'd probably catch him again. So, sure enough, we went out there in 6-8-footers, and I was able to catch my fish, and he just couldn't get his to go.
I got to tell you, I grew up on that lake, right? And it was watching you. It was bringing back some bad feelings for me because, I mean, I remember back in the late 80s fishing there when, you know, when 17 and a half, 18 foot was a big boat. We didn't have 21 footers back then. And I remember going out to the Galoo Islands and getting caught out there on some of that stuff. And it was, I said, never again. And, you know, the video of watching you bob up and down in between those waves, Mueller too, really, it was a little spooky. I mean, did it ever bother you? Were you ever like, all right, this is a little bit out of control?
No, to be honest, it never crossed my mind. I was just, I literally had my eyes focused on my graph, and my main thing was just trying to hold on the spot because there wasn't really drifts. They were very spot-oriented, just certain rock piles. So if you drifted over it, you'd be over it in 30 seconds and then done. So I was really trying to just hold. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be honest. So I was able to hold on my spot, so that was good, and I was able to catch him that way.
Tell me about how your cameraman felt about it, because, I mean, he might have been a little bit of green around the gills, a little bit running out there.
Yeah, but now Rennie, he asked me, you got some gravel? No, sorry, dude. I don't. He's a good guy. He's ripped me all 3 days, and I felt bad. What's really I felt bad for him was the way I was fishing. It was so windy, I'd pull up on a spot, he'd get the camera out, I'd try and hold for 3 or 4 minutes. He'd just start rolling. I'm like, okay, we got another drift. So he had to pack it up. So he'd only get a camera for like 2 minutes. So I felt bad. And then he was hurting pretty bad. He was hard to get the camera out of the bag. And then about an hour later, I'm like, you feel any better? You look a little better. And he's like, yeah, I'm a little better now. I got sick. And I didn't even know he was because it was so windy and loud. So, and he was chumming off the back of the boat for me. And then I find out later, it wasn't just one. He didn't know. No, it was like 4 or 5 times. He said 3 of the big ones I caught, he was getting sick, had to pick up the camera and start rolling. So he did a good job.
So you were on a yak pattern, basically, is what you're telling me. I mean, he's yakking and you're catching him. So you just need to make sure you got a cameraman that doesn't have a strong stomach.
I didn't even know it, but yeah, it turns out when I was with the big one, he was chumming.
That's pretty good stuff. Chris Johnson with us coming off of his win at the St. Lawrence River. And, you know, it was really exciting to see. And you talked about Mueller, and he just hung with you. You guys just kind of pulled away from the field. The difference between first and 10th was amazing. Not that 75 pounds, you know, isn't real good as well. But talk to me about that 7-13. Did you get a chance to eyeball Mueller's hog that he got, that big 7-13 fish?
I saw it from afar, and that's a monster. I've fished walleye for a lot of years, and I've never caught one that big. So that's definitely a fish for a lifetime.
Yeah, it was 7 ounces off of the state record. I mean, I don't know if you knew that at the time, but you know that he was that close to setting a state record. I mean, if it's a month earlier, that might be a state record fish.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. If it was pre-spawning, it would have been 8.5 all day.
Man, that's amazing stuff. All right, so you get the victory there, hoisting the blue trophy. It's not like you haven't won a lot of tournaments in your time, but you know you get your first blue trophy with Bass. Just talk about what that means to you, and just how the chatter was amongst the Canadian crew. You, Corey, I imagine everybody in the family are pretty fired up about that.
Oh, it was crazy. It was exciting. It was also like a huge relief for me. I've been so close a couple times, and used to hoist that trophy up. Finally got it done, and the amount of support and texts, and even media from the Canadian point of view that jumped all over it. We're publishing it, and they've never even talked about fishing. So that's really neat to see, to put fishing on the map in Canada. So I couldn't ask for anything better. That's for sure.
Well, look,
living on my home lake.
Yeah, it's a good thing that you won that one, because if you win here at Champlain, they'll ignore you because they got a little hockey tournament that's starting, right? So, you know, last week it was all about Chris Johnston, but now they're like, forget about it, man. We got hockey. They're not going to care what you guys do out there.
Yeah, August 1st, NHL starts back up. I'll be old news, that's for sure.
Yeah, that is good stuff. Now, I got to be totally honest with you. I know that you and your brother are pretty competitive with each other. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And the full disclosure, if you're going to hang up the phone on me, you can hang up the phone on me. But I had both of you on my fantasy team, as did, like, you know, half of the fantasy people that were playing along. I had both of you. But you're both in the same group this week. And I took Corey. And I'm just going to tell you, the reason I took your brother was because I figured he's so damn competitive that maybe he comes back and wins this one, you know what I mean? And you're like second or third.
It's not a bad call. He's been pretty quiet this week, and he wants to beat me bad. So
yeah,
I wouldn't put it past him. He's had a decent practice, so that's not a bad pick.
Yeah,
I put a lot of time into Ticonderoga, but a day and a half, it really kind of bit me in the butt. I really wanted to find them in it. Like I said, I found that one spot. I put another day in trying to find another one. It never worked out. So I'm staying north. He's been practicing north for 3 days, so he's got a little head start on me.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the technique, because, you know, down here in the South, we like to punch with, like, you know, ounce and a half weight, you know, ounce weight and things like that. When you're drop shotting in, I don't know, 6-8 foot waves, at that depth, how high a weight do you go to with your drop shot? Because I just can't imagine how you can feel anything with that thing or control it at all.
Believe it or not, I use a 3/8 ounce.
Wow.
So the heaviest I'll go is a half. And it gets down there quick enough. And I don't, like, some of my fish were suspended, and I don't like to go by, like, a missile down past their head. I like them to see it on the fall and follow it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I find you got a better feel with the bait with the lighter weight.
Yeah.
You can feel them pick it up better and stuff. And that's just a personal preference as well.
Now, the other thing is, while this is being aired, the guys, you're all out on the water now, okay? So it's not like you're giving away any kind of state secret here. But I noticed when they kind of showed the different lures and so on. Of course, everybody was drop shotting. I've never seen a tournament where it was so much. It was either Ned rig or drop shot, and that's just the way it is when you guys go out there. But you rig yours a little bit differently. It looked like you had it almost like a swim bait the way you put it on. It didn't look like you had them nose rigged. Just talk about the different ways you'll rig your bait itself, because it looked like you were doing something a little bit different than what we normally see.
No, well, I have two different bait things, top and down. And one I would nose hook, one I would thread on, and I'd use a straight shank hook. But nothing kind of out of the norm. I do use a smaller drop shot hook than most people, especially with the nose hooking, because I find the fish, when they get finicky, they can see the hook and they get a little shy. So a smaller hook definitely gets you more bites. I do nose hook a lot.
Now, when you say small, what's small? I mean, 1/0 is tiny to me, but what is small for you? Because when you're catching 5 and 6 pounders, you know, you think you want a little bit of hook.
You know, like, and then that's kind of a misconception. That small hook gets in their head a little bit better. The big hook needs too much penetration to get in. So I use like a size 2 Aaron Martin's drop shot finesse hook from Gamagatsu.
Wow.
And once it gets in there, a lot of times you need pliers to get there, which is pretty cool.
Now, were you dropping, of course, you got the Garmin, you're looking at them on the live scope, you got all that good stuff going on. Were you dropping right down on them, or are you one that likes to kind of back off them a little bit and hit them from an angle?
If I can see them on my Panoptics or live scope, and I can get my bait in front of them before my boat gets on top of them, my odds went way up with catching.
Yeah. Well, that would make a lot of sense, you know, if you could do that. And that's been a beautiful thing. I mean, at Panoptics, the first time I saw it was right there at Champlain, fishing with Sam George a couple of years ago, and it's mind-blowing to see that thing.
It's incredible. It's literally changed the game, the way you fish it. There used to be just you get on top of them, drop down. Now I'm literally looking, scanning, and looking 100 feet in each direction, finding fish, and then going over to that fish trying to catch it. So it makes you so much more efficient.
Well, Chris, congratulations on the win. I mean, last year, Cobb went back-to-back. We had to have him on a couple of times. Hartman had to come on a couple of times. So I might be bugging you again. If you win, I gotta reach out to you, man.
I hope so. We'll talk after Champlain.
Nice. You got to love the confidence there. All right, coming up next, it's Dave Mercer. He's up on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
At Phoenix Boats, everyone has a passion for bass fishing. From the founder and Elite Series pro Gary Klaus, down to the guy who affixes the final decal. Gary says, this passion has shaped our lives and it has brought about many of the fishing features that you see on the Phoenix today. Our goal is to make every boat that goes out the door the best fishing platform it can be in both design and construction for our customers. When I toured the plant, it was clear that Phoenix uses only the highest quality materials and that the craftsmanship was second to none. I'm Tom Abraham. And I too run a Phoenix boat and am extremely proud to carry the Phoenix logo on my gear. I've known Gary Klaus since he started the company, and what he, Teresa Johnson, and the rest of the team at Phoenix Boats have created is truly remarkable. The highest quality boats built by anglers for anglers. This isn't just a saying, it's a passion at Phoenix. View the entire lineup at phoenixboats.com and get started on yours today. Take it from me, it's time to experience the Phoenix difference.
From dawn to midday to dusk, the sun's rays dance across the water and the sparkling light beckons. The abundant shorelines invite you to play or sail or simply behold. This is where champions fish and families gather to unwind. It's Lake Hartwell, and Anderson is the gateway to its wonders. Walk on a pier, float all day, and restore your soul in this beautiful oasis. Visit Anderson, South Carolina's bright spot. Discover more at visitanderson.com and visitlakehartwell.com.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Yeah, welcome back, Phoenix Boats, Bassmaster Radio. Now a chance to talk to the guy that, well, we all get to watch at the weigh-ins. He does a tremendous job. Of course, he has his own Facts of Fishing show that he's had for years out of Canada. Does a tremendous job with that. A great fisherman himself and a Phoenix guy as well, Dave Mercer. Dave, welcome back to the show, man. How are you?
Always great to be here, and it's Canada Week, I guess.
You know, it kind of has been Canada Week. I mean, just the pride, and you know, we just talked to Chris Johnson, and he said that he got a ton of press from the, you know, a ton of love from the Canadian press as well with that historic win last week.
Oh, incredible, actually. Like, you know, you hope, you know, as a Canadian, or and it's no different than, you know, when somebody from your state wins, you look at some of the states who haven't had wins, when they get their first win, you kind of hope that the local media and the people will represent. Well, boy, did they ever. I mean, he was on CTV News, which U.S., you know, term, that's basically like, you know, being on CBS or NBC. Sure. You know, it's national news. And so it should be the first Canadian to ever do it.
No, it won't be his last one. He's been threatening to do this for quite a while. There's no doubt about it. Now, this week at the St. Lawrence, just so you know, I told Chris this, I took his brother Corey because I know how competitive those two guys are. And I figure Corey comes back with a vengeance this week. And they had them in the same bucket. So we'll see. You know, we're about halfway through the tournament as the people are listening to this, but we'll see how Corey does in this one. But I got a feeling that, you know, that Corey could come out swinging too.
And don't think, you know, when you look at Corey, I mean, obviously he's going to be motivated seeing his brother. Those two have been self-motivated for each other their entire lives, basically. But more than just motivation, I mean, Champlain sets up very well for Corey. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, when you look at these guys, a lot of people look at them and be like, they're Canadian guys. I mean, they're smallmouth guys. They're very comfortable largemouth fishing. You know, I'd be very shocked to see Corey just focus on smallmouth here on Champlain. You know, I imagine he's going to have a big jig in his hand through part of the day. And just like we saw last year, you know, it'll be a mixed bag kind of deal where guys will get some smallmouth, but they'll have to get that bigger kicker largemouth. And they're very adapted at doing that. Don't think they're one-trick ponies.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I think that's one of the big misnomers. You know, I grew up actually on the shores of Lake Ontario, out of Webster, New York, which is kind of by Sotus Bay in that area, you know, right in the middle of the southern shore there. But I also spent a lot of time fishing the Finger Lakes, and Cayuga Lake is where I really learned my largemouth fishing as a kid. And I think a lot of people don't understand those natural lakes. You got a lot of grass up there. There's a lot of, you know, flipping with, you know, jigs and big creature baits and heavy weights and so on if you're going to do that. And that's one of the great things about Champlain. You can do that. You can be that guy, or you can be, you know, the smallmouth guy.
And that's what makes this lake so cool, to be honest. That's what I love coming to a place like Champlain, because it's always different. You know, it's always a big question. Do you make the run or do you not make the run? And the body of water, the chain of lakes that those guys grew up on, the Trent Severn waterway, is the same chain I live on. And it has more largemouth than it has smallmouth, believe it or not. But the good news for those guys is, you know where you drive to do some incredible smallmouth bass fishing? The St. Lawrence River, which is just a couple hours away. And obviously they're apt at both. But it's going to be, I mean, the big thing this week going with this tournament, you know, you're watching these guys, you want to talk about a test. You go from the St. Lawrence River to Champlain, two giant bodies of water.
Yeah.
These guys, that's what I love about the back-to-back event and having two big bodies of water like this too, because it doesn't just test them, their skills, but it also tests them mentally and physically.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about it. And you know, I texted Mark Zona during last week's show when he mentioned the Galoo Islands. And when he said Galoo Islands, a shiver went up my spine because, you know, back in the late 80s when 18-foot was a big boat and, you know, 90 or 88-inch beam was wide, you know, it's about a foot narrower than they are now. I got caught out by the Galoo Islands fishing a tournament out of Clayton, New York. And it was scary, to say the least, to get back in. And to see Chris Johnson fishing on Championship Sunday in those 6 and 8 foot waves, man, it can get really, really dicey out there. He told us that his cameraman yacked 5 times, and he was out of pattern, actually. The cameraman would be throwing up in the back of the boat, and Chris would be catching one in the front of the boat. So I don't know if that's a new pattern, but it seemed to be working for him.
It wasn't just him. Sorry to let you know. There were several camera men that got sick on there. And I'll tell you, one of the toughest things to do is literally look through that little hole and shoot in that tough conditions. And I can't say enough about the Bass Live camera folks. You know what I mean? Like it's amazing. If you look at how their lives have changed, I mean, Bass Live has made our lives incredible, all of us that love it. But there's no break for them. There's no putting that down. There's no, you know, before we used to make a one-hour show, and they just had to be on point when the angler hooked up. Well, now they're on point all day long. And you mentioned it. I mean, Russ, his camera guy, I just couldn't believe that, because when you watch the camera work, you couldn't tell he was sick.
Yeah.
You know, that's what amazes me. I mean, I'll tell you what, if I get seasick and I have to MC, you'll know I'm sick. I will be whining the whole time.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's talk about that for a moment, too, because one of the great things about you and the job that you've done as the MC is you play to the crowd well. I mean, you are a great entertainer. You know, that's the thing. If you're a fisherman, you do your TV show, it's just you and a camera, and you have to be able to entertain folks knowing that they're on the other side of that camera. But you're fantastic live. I mean, that's why I think that you've held this gig for so long, and they love you, and you really work the crowd well. What is it like up there? I was sitting there, and I'm seeing you, and you can't even be next to the guy, and you got your mask on, you're way over there in the corner, and the angler's way over there, and there's virtually no crowd. How has it been? How weird was it for you there and even here at Champlain?
It's weird is the best way to express it, you know, and I think I'm just like every other sports fan out there. When all this first started and people started saying, well, you know, they might be playing sports without a crowd, I was like, yeah, that's never going to happen. And then all these months later, we're like, just play the game, just hit a ball, you know, cast a lure, do something. So yeah, it sucks. It that's the best way to explain it. But I'm just thankful to be back and be able to do it. You know what I mean? And I don't think I've ever taken the crowds for granted. I mean, I'm always incredibly thankful for them, but I guess I want to thank them even more. You know what I mean? Because you just realize, but I'll be honest. I mean, we can't have anybody in our venue, but New York never lets down.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of our venue, you know, where we it's a shut venue. We can't have anyone in the venue under New York regulations, but all the marinas and everything around, there was people watching, and there was boats out in the water,
sure,
which is truly the original social distancing. So it was, you know, they weren't there, but they are there.
Yeah.
And I guess we get a neat little trade-off in the way that all of a sudden we're on ESPN 2, you know, and I'll tell you, boy, did that change things. You want to watch, you know, in the past we'd go to an area and you would have your Bassmaster fans that would come out and be like, yeah, I was watching, but being on ESPN 2 all day long, I mean, Brock mostly kept saying it. People were literally running down to the end of the dock to see him on the St. Lawrence River. At one point, I don't know if you caught this, but at one point he was a little hungry and decided, hey, I'm going to ask for some sandwiches on ESPN 2. Within a half hour, somebody brought sandwiches to the end of his dock.
That's
and
fantastic.
Delivered them to him. So, you know, they may not be here, but there's millions of Bassmaster fans around the world enjoying watching these guys catch fish.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And there was, I think the number was 2.8 million that took it in the first one at Eufaula. We haven't seen the numbers yet for this, but it's going to be incredible. I mean, and I'm not throwing shade at any other sport, but there are other things that are on ESPN, WNBA, that get lower numbers than that. I mean, there are more people watching this stuff. And I was so encouraged when I saw the numbers. And I don't know if you saw this, but, you know, in the U.S., an increase of 37% in new fishing licenses, 8 million new anglers in the U.S., you know, one of the results of this pandemic, and you just hope that, you know, a good percentage of those will stay and stick, and it's been one of the great things to do, and it's been obviously a very unfortunate thing, but on the other hand, people found the lake again, which I think is really, really cool.
I'm so thankful for that. You know, really, like, there's so much going, so many people are dealing with so much, and there's that little silver lining where the fishing world, more people are doing it. It's incredible, and I really think with this ESPN thing, I think because of, let's be honest, with what we've all seen in the last 4 months of our life, with the craziness going on in the world, we're all a little bit in shock, and I honestly think this is going to be one of those things that years from now, we'll look back on and we'll be like, man, remember that time when bass fishing was truly live through the entire day. I don't think we're going to realize how big of a step it is. You know what I mean? I think some people are kind of numb right now,
yeah.
but I think we'll see these we'll see the power of ESPN2 for years and years to come from what's happened in these few tournaments.
Dave Mercer with us. I told Chris that, you know, it's a good thing he won last week, because if he wins this week, or Corey or Gussie or one of those guys wins this week, nobody's going to know in Canada anyway, because the hockey tournament starts this weekend. It's beginning today. Those that are listening on Saturday, it's beginning today. And it's I think Canada might forget there's a fishing tournament. I don't know.
I mean, we'll be distracted. Don't worry. Don't think that Gussie, Corey, and Chris aren't watching some hockey anyways. But they will always. I mean, hey, how about they just go back to back? Both brothers
Wouldn't
over the border,
something?
You know, with two trophies. We may not get back across again if they won two back to back.
Finally, you run a Phoenix. Davey Height runs a Phoenix. I run a Phoenix. You were out in that big water running around. You'll be running around on Champlain, which can get like, you know, you go across Champlain heading for the inland sea. It can be calm weather-wise, no wind at all. And for some reason, there's 3 and 4 footers rolling anyway. I mean, it's just the way it is at Champlain. But just talk for a moment about that Phoenix and the job that it does for you, especially when you're out there in that heavy water.
It's incredible, to be honest. I mean, I've run big water my whole life, but I have never run. I've run the 21 THX, and it's specifically designed for big water.
Yeah.
I've never run a boat that runs smoother in big water. And what it does, I mean, the way that boat's designed, what I feel its real advantage is it's real easy to keep that boat flat. And what I mean by that, if you watch some of those videos I did last week, the biggest mistake people make in big water is air. I mean, you want to keep your boat glued to the water as much as possible. And that boat, you trim down, and that boat's nose will stick to that wave, but it still doesn't, you know, cut them. You know what I mean? When it comes down, that nose stays high, but the bow stays stuck to the wave. It's an incredible rough water boat. And I'll give you, okay, I'm not going to tell you who, but he was with one of the people. I'm going to get in trouble if I'm not. What did you say? I took a camera guy fishing on Monday and in my boat, and we ran down the river. We were going for 2 minutes, and he said, "Thank God I'm back in a Phoenix."
Yeah.
And he had been in another brand. So the weekend, I mean, you hear that. I mean, they won't say it, and I'm going to say it, baby, but if you don't believe me, next time you're at a Bassmaster tournament, you see a Bass Live camera guy, ask them. Say, what boat do you like? Because, I mean, nobody's a better judge than those guys. I mean, they've been in every kind of boat. And, man, that thing, it's an incredible rough water boat. And you compare Champlain to St. Lawrence, I'll tell you this. I'd rather be out on Lake Ontario than I would Champlain. Because Champlain, it can get really, really snotty, where at least on the big water, it's almost like the ocean. You get the big swells in between them.
Yeah.
So
you can ride it.
None of these are a picnic.
Yeah, that's a good point. Dave Mercer has been our guest. Dave, we appreciate you so much. Keep doing a great job. Keep entertaining us, even though you don't have the big crowd at the weigh-ins. You're still doing a great job, and I appreciate you taking time to join us here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio.
Always great to be with you, and have a great time. Go Canada or something. I don't know. There's a Canadian goose pooping on my boat. I got to go.
All right, Dave. I appreciate you, man. All right, we're going to break it in. We'll come back and wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Bassmaster Sweepstakes prizes are crazy good, and you'd be crazy not to enter.
Yeah, baby!
Enter now to win a fishing trip with 50 at Bassmaster Classic Champion Hank Cherry. Trip includes airfare, rental car, hotel, and $500 cash, plus a Basscat Saber FTD with Mercury 150 Pro XS Garmin Electronics and an amazing prize pack. Total value more than $50,000. There's a 100% chance you won't win if you don't enter. Go to Bassmaster.com and up the odds in your favor. It's fast and easy, and who knows? You could win.
If you haven't visited EnigmaFishing.com lately, you are missing out on some of the greatest deals in the industry. Tour-level rods and reels at everyday fisherman prices. How? Well, they eliminate the middleman and sell directly to you. And now, in addition to tremendous rods and reels, Enigma has a full line of sunglasses and accessories and some of the coolest clothes around. Check out the new Torch baitcasting reel as well. Lightning fast with an 8.1:1 gear ratio and pretty cool looking as well. At a price too good to believe. Visit EnigmaFishing.com today. At Phoenix Boats, everyone has a passion for bass fishing. From the founder and Elite Series pro Gary Klaus, down to the guy who affixes the final decal. Gary says, this passion has shaped our lives and it has brought about many of the fishing features that you see on the Phoenix today. Our goal is to make every boat that goes out the door the best fishing platform it can be in both design and construction for our customers. When I toured the plant, it was clear that Phoenix uses only the highest quality materials and that the craftsmanship was second to none. I'm Tom Abraham, and I too run a Phoenix boat and am extremely proud to carry the Phoenix logo on my gear. I've known Gary Klaus since he started the company, and what he, Teresa Johnson, and the rest of the team at Phoenix Boats have created is truly remarkable. The highest quality boats, built by anglers for anglers. This isn't just a saying, it's a passion at Phoenix. View the entire lineup at phoenixboats.com and get started on yours today. Take it from me, it's time to experience the Phoenix difference.
This is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and as we idle this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Marshall spots are available for regular season Elite Series events for just $99 per tournament. Now, as a part of the program, at every tournament, participants will enjoy an exclusive dinner and a meet and greet with all the elite anglers, as well as receive official Bassmaster Marshall apparel and products from tournament sponsors. Visit bassmaster.com/elite for Marshall registration. Now, the 2020 BassPro.com open season is underway as well. Visit Bassmaster.com/opens for all the info you need to get registered for this series. Now, it's the highest level that a co-angler can fish, and it's a tremendous way to hone your skills and learn from the pros and maybe even make a few bucks as you compete against other co-anglers. This year's pro field is better than ever, so grab a co-angler spot now. And due to the incredible high interest in the Open Series, the championship round of the Opens will be broadcast on Bassmaster Live all season. Now, while you're at Bassmaster.com, click on Sweepstakes for your opportunity to fish with Bassmaster Classic champ Hank Cherry. The winner will get round-trip domestic airfare, two nights hotel stay, a rental car, and $500 spending cash. But wait, there's more. How about a brand-new Basscat Saber FTD with a Mercury 150 and Garmin Electronics, plus a pile of goodies from Hank's sponsors? The total value of that deal is over $52,000. And don't forget to sign up for Rapala Fantasy Fishing at Bassmaster.com. Each week's winner will win $4,000 in cash and prizes, $4,500 if you're a member of BASS. Just go to Bassmaster.com and click on Fantasy for rules and to get in today. And while you're at it, join our Bassmaster Radio group, where each week's winner will receive a rod and reel combo from Enigma, and everyone that finishes ahead of me is entered in a drawing for a prize package from VisitAnderson.com, Rapala, Missile Baits, and Phoenix Boats. Just search Bassmaster Radio under the Groups tab. Well, let's take a look at the upcoming tournament schedule. And the big scheduling news was the fact that the tournament at Cayuga Lake has been replaced with the Bassmaster Elite at Lake Gunnersville. That's right. They're going to head back to Gunnersville, the same place where the Classic was this year. But this time, they'll go out of Goose Pond Polony in Scottsboro, Alabama. And it will be September 30th through October 3rd. And take it from me, that's a totally different lake in September than it was in March. Other events that are coming up, of course, the Bassmaster Elite at Lake St. Clair will be August 20th through the 23rd. The Carhartt Bassmaster College Series is at Lake Hartwell, presented by Bass Pro Shops. That'll be August 27th through the 29th. Well, until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.